Hello, Terry.
Yeah, I got a couple of questions. I've got a genetic hemochromatosis condition that was discovered in 2008. So I've been doing phlebotomies up until about 2 years ago when I started methylation, and that seems to have turned everything around. So I was just doing methylcobalamin and methylfolate and TMG. Got my homocysteine down, and everything seems to be fine. Been doing that for a couple of years. Now, the question is, I've also got basal and squamous and AK carcinomas on the top of my head. Is there, because methylation can shut down gene expression, is there any risk in shutting down some of the good genes, like those that control apoptosis and aerobic respiration and so on? And alternatively, what effect, if any, would methylation possibly have on existing tumors? And I don't know if these qualify for that or not. So there we go.
Pretty involved question there. I'm definitely not the genetic expert. I know we're at Tahoma Clinic, we're starting to get more and more research and doing various panels for people to kind of determine what kinds of things they can expect as far as genetic expression. One thing I like to tell my patients is, you know, even though you definitely have a genetic footprint that you're born with, doesn't necessarily mean it has to express in a certain given way 100% of the time. So people can intervene with various supplements and nutrients, and it sounds like you're already on that road, which is really good. But as far as answering that question, I think you may need a specialist on that. And one thing of the things I'm excited about through Meridian Valley Lab, our primary lab that we use at the Tahoma Clinic, is that we're going to be doing an entire exome on people, which is an entire genome for that individual. So I know a lot of clinics are going to be have been doing, you know, like 8 or 12 polymorphisms to try and work with those, but oh my gosh, if you had the total blueprint for your genetic makeup, it would just give so much more information. But it's such a new science that I think there's a lot of work that we need to do before we can make those determinations, though.
There is. And my training is that just because you have the gene doesn't necessarily mean it gets expressed. I'm APOE44. I've got the hemochromatosis issue. My approach was to be proactive and do the best I can on that. But like I say, you can't pick and choose. So I didn't know, you know, what the possible effects might be on some other genetic expressions. And I already know on the neurotransmitter side, I've got some issues there, which I've been able to adjust purely with nutrients and vitamins and so on to get my stress level down. So I guess I'll have to just keep working at it. And I was able to get my ferritin down from over 250 down to the mid 50s, and stayed there for 2 years. Yeah.
That's very protective, yeah. Now, you had talked about working with basal cell or squamous cell carcinoma. And that's something we see a lot of at the clinic. Sometimes we'll use a eggplant extract. I know Dr. Wright has talked about that, something called Curaderm.
And I've been using that since June, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and there's other things, even bentonite clay or black salve or drawing kinds of ointments and salves seem to help with that. I'll just give this website over the air. I like a product that or a company that promotes their black salve, and the website is called healingformula.net. And I think it's a very, very powerful product, and it's not as corrosive as the eggplant product. So sometimes, especially if the basal cell or squamous cell is on the face, I tend to use the black salve. And if it's elsewhere, then, you know, someplace visible, then I can use the Curaderm on that area. But
But
the black salve is very good.
Mine is the scalp, and it does etch away the skin, and it's not very. I mean, it is kind of painful. So,
But oh, and the other thing, Terry, with hemochromatosis, you know, it tends to be something going on in the bone marrow, in the body. So I often will check for heavy metals that can deposit there. You know, mercury, lead, cadmium, those are some nasty metals that can really disrupt the bone marrow making blood cells correctly. So that's another project for me.
I live my life with a mouthful of amalgam, which I'm trying to get rid of now. And once I do that, then I'll start in the mercury detox. I'm sure there's issues there. So one other quick kind of side question. Natokinase, does it interfere with coumadin? And because it eats up fibrin, the fibrin, what if you cut yourself? Will you have clotting issues?
Well, we, you know, sometimes when people are required to take coumadin to avoid, you know, maybe some kind of genetic predisposition for clotting or you know, atrial fib, they often give a anticoagulant therapy. But we find that natokinase and fish oil work well together. You definitely can get increased bruising if you're getting too much fish oil in particular. But the natokinase, I think, is very safe and compatible with anticoagulants like Coumadin. So it just works on a slightly different pathway. People that are doing Coumadin or warfarin, you know, you have to get your blood tested, the INR tested fairly often. But from what I see, the natokinase and the fish oil doesn't really change the INR that much.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, and I think last week Dr. Wright said you got to take it like 4 times a day, though.
Yeah, you want to spread it out so it's constantly circulating. Yeah, even every 6 hours or 8 hours, depending on the condition. So.
Okay.
All right, Terry.
Well, I'll keep plugging away on the carcinoma issue there and see where we go. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, thanks for your call.